O Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's the way to?
Let Him in.
Let Him in.
Amen.
What are we doing this weekend?
Letting Him in.
We're letting Him in. How do you live the Christian life? You got to let Him in. Well, what are we doing tonight? We're just going to let Him in a little bit more. So we're going to go on to message 3 on resurrection. By now, we all should be clear. What is God's intention? The angle this weekend is all from the angle of God's intention. God's intention is that God, He wants to be mingled with man. The Bible reveals God. God is the eternal, self-existing, ever-existing one. In Himself, He has no needs. Self-existing, ever-existing. But one day, this God, something came up in His heart. And this became His good pleasure. And it was hidden in God. It was not made known until Paul came. And through Paul, the revelation of this mystery has been made known.
Amen.
What came up in God's heart is that God said, I would like to dwell within man.
Amen.
I'd like to dwell within humanity. Why did that come up in God's heart? I don't know. You have to ask Him. But that's why you're here. That's why everything is here. If that never came up in God's heart, there wouldn't be the universe. There wouldn't be earth. There wouldn't be you and I. But because this was in God's heart, God just said, I'm going to get it. He says, I'm going to get the thing that makes me happy.
Amen.
This is what makes God happy.
Amen.
Did you ever consider this? Why do you exist?
Thank God.
You exist to make God happy.
Amen.
Now, how are you, little man, just like I'm a little man, how are we going to make God happy? What could we possibly do to please God? To make God happy? I mean, what can you do? Are you going to juggle for Him? Are you going to get a Nobel Peace Prize for Him? PhD for Him? Get a new car for Him? Do these things make God happy? Not at all. But what makes God happy is to come and dwell within you.
Amen.
To live within you. To the extent that He gets expressed through you. This makes God happy. This adds meaning to our life. This is the highest purpose. It's the highest meaning. Well, God had this good pleasure. God has a will, and oh, we should know God has a determined will. God will get what He wants in you and I. But God came up with a plan. God came up with a way in which He would get that which pleases Him. And this weekend, we are seeing God's way. God's way to get what He wants is in Christ.
Amen.
And Christ has 4 major steps that He took in order for God to get His good pleasure. Aren't you already thankful for Christ?
Amen.
And for the first 2 steps, there's 2 more. One tonight, and there's another one tomorrow. These are major steps that Christ took so that God would get His purpose worked out in you and I. So now that we know God's intention, now we understand a little bit more about incarnation. Incarnation was God coming into man. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God in a man.
Amen.
That is what the significance of incarnation is. It's not once a year to have a festival, to have a little manger on your front lawn with a little baby in there, to just remember that event. No. Incarnation was God getting what pleases Him.
Amen.
Finally, God came into man.
Amen.
And He lived within a man for 33 and a half years. And He was expressed in this man for 33 and a half years. The divine attributes of God were seen in the human virtues of this one's human living. This man, Jesus, made God happy.
Amen.
At least twice in the Gospels, the Father spoke from the heavens to make sure that everybody was clear. This is my beloved Son, in whom is my delight. In this one, I am really, really, really happy.
Amen.
Did you hear me? In Him is my delight.
Amen.
Because in Jesus, God's purpose was fulfilled. God was living within a man. God was being expressed through a man. Well, in a sense, God could have stopped there. The Father was right. In Him is my delight. I'm happy. I've got my purpose. It's been fulfilled. Yet, we have to be so thankful for this. God says, I don't just want one. I want many.
Amen.
So, now we need to go to the next step. There was incarnation. In a sense, God's purpose was fulfilled in this one, Jesus. But God's desire was not just one. He wants many. Yet, in order for God to come and dwell within us, there's a big problem. In fact, not just a big problem, there are lots of problems. Because this man that was created by God, for God to come and dwell within, before God could come into man, God's enemy came in first to do something, to put something of himself within man. So now within humanity, the very humanity created by God for His good pleasure, within humanity there's now something of Satan, there's sin, there's sins, there's death, there's the flesh, there's the world, there's the old man, the old creation. It's all there. And God doesn't want to dwell with that. God doesn't want to live with that. So before God can move in, these problems have to be dealt with. Maybe I can illustrate it this way. This coat represents humanity, created by God for God to dwell within. But this humanity fell and became fallen, became flesh, became damaged. There's lots of problems now with this humanity. One day, God became a man. He put on flesh, but He did not have all the problems. He only had the likeness of the flesh of sin, but He had no sin in Him. And it's like with my coat, there's a collar. The collar is of the same material as the rest of the coat. Yet only the coat fell into the mud, but the collar didn't fall into the mud. This is like Christ. He joined himself to humanity. He became a man, yet he was without sin. And then when he was lifted up on the cross, just like when I grab the collar, what happens when I lift up the collar? The entire jacket goes with it. So when Christ in his humanity was lifted up on that cross, nailed to that cross, in God's eyes, all of humanity was lifted up with him. And with humanity, all the problems of humanity were put there on the cross and judged by God. Dealt with by God. So now all the problems related to our humanity and to the fall, they have been dealt with. The problems have been taken away. Don't you love that death? Oh, what a death. Dealt with all the problems. Are you still trying to deal with your problems? Stop it. God already did it. All your problems have been dealt with on the cross. Thank you, brother. So Christ not only had the step of incarnation, he had the step of his crucifixion. And we saw there that that death not only dealt with all the negative things, but that death also was a release of the life that was in him. But Christ must take another step. In order for God's purpose to be worked out in you and I, Christ had to take another step. And that is the step of resurrection. He had to be brought into resurrection so that God's purpose could be worked out in us. That is what happened in resurrection. God's purpose was first worked out in a man, Jesus Christ. Now, because Christ has taken the step of crucifixion and resurrection, God's purpose today is being worked out in us. In us. Before we come to the outline, I'd like to read to you from John chapter 20 the account of some of the Lord's lovers, disciples, discovering the resurrection. I feel this account is very descriptive to describe what kind of attitude will you have towards Christ's resurrection. What kind of attitude do you have? To you, is Christ's resurrection just an historical event? Oh, I know. He died, and 3 days later he rose again. I got it. How much more do you need to speak tonight, brother? He died 3 days later. He's resurrected. Christ is resurrected. Well, there is that historical event. On the third day, he did rise from the dead. And there is this knowledge of the resurrection. But there needs to be much more. So let me read. Let me read this account to you. John chapter 20, verse 1 until when we stop. Now on the first day of the week, Mary the Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was yet dark and saw the stone taken away from the tomb. She ran therefore and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord, out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter, therefore, went forth as well as the other disciple and came to the tomb. And the two ran together, yet the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter. It sounds like the brothers, right? Yeah. Always making it a competition. And then came first to the tomb. And stooping to look in, the guy that got there first, he saw that the linen clothes lying there. However, he did not enter. Then Simon Peter also came. He was second, but he still wanted to do something better than John. So then Simon Peter also came following him and entered into the tomb. John just went to the entrance. I'm going to go in. Maybe he thought I won. And he beheld the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief which had been over his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in one place apart. And at that time, therefore, the other disciple also, who came first to the tomb, entered and saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. Then verse 10. The disciples, therefore, went away again to their own home. Okay. They got the fact. Oh, he's not in the tomb. Oh, he's been raised from the dead. And then they said, okay, let's go home. Is there something wrong with this picture? Okay, let's say Brian and I are really close. And I've been with Brian for 3 years and following him, adoring him, even said I'll die for him, that I'll never deny him. I mean, you'd think, wow, this one really loves Brian. Then Brian says, I'm going to die, but on the third day, I'm going to be raised from the dead. What would you expect I would be doing on the third day? I should have been sitting outside the tomb. When's he coming out? I want to see Brian again. I missed him. He's been gone 3 days. 3 lonely days without Brian. Oh, Brian, come on. But Peter and John, oh, Jesus, he's been raised. Okay. All right, let's go home. It's early. Let's go have breakfast. All right. Well, we laugh, but maybe we're like that. Oh, yeah, I know. I read my Bible. I know Jesus died, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. The tomb's empty. I got it. Now, verse 11. Listen to this. But Mary. Hey, brothers, we better learn from the sisters in this example, okay? But Mary stood outside at the tomb weeping. Okay, that word there, weeping, is wailing. She wasn't just like, she's like, where is he? Where's my Lord? Where are you, Jesus? She wanted to see him. If he's been resurrected, if he's alive, she wanted to know, where is he? Shouldn't we be like this? Now that we know Christ has resurrected from the dead, shouldn't we be like, well, where is he? I want to see him. I want to know him. Okay, Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. Then as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And behold, two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Okay, this is while she was a sister. If it was us brothers, whoa, an angel. Whoa, two of them. All right. But she was not being distracted by any angels. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him. She wasn't being distracted by those angels. She still wanted to know, where is the Lord? 14. But when she had said these things, she turned backward and beheld Jesus standing there. Yet she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Whom are you seeking? Tonight, as we cover the stage of resurrection, are you seeking to know the resurrected Christ? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing that he was the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to him, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Then I love this. 17. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Oh, the Lord actually had resurrected, and he was on his way in his secret ascension as the first fruit of resurrection for the Father's enjoyment. But he had to stop on the way because of this seeker that was crying out for him. "Where are you, Lord? Where are you?" So he had to stop. "Here I am." And then she wanted to be all over him. "Oh!" And he's like, "Don't touch me." Because he was for the Father's enjoyment. But what a seeker. Well, let's be those seekers tonight. When we find out where the Lord is now, let's be all over him. Let's grab him. Let's enjoy him. Let's be with him as the resurrected one. Okay, now we'll come to the outline. We'll go through this in a rather quick pace. All these points are full of significance. So please have your outline and your Bible ready, and we'll go through this together. Let's all read Roman numeral 1 together.
The wonder death of Christ was his resurrection.
Right. So A, let's all read A together.
Christ is
So under Roman numeral 1, I'm going to have at least three phrases of what Christ is in resurrection, of what resurrection is. Just like there's an ABC, there's going to be three phrases of resurrection is. So for A, resurrection is a person. Resurrection is a person. Not just an event that happened, it's a person. In John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If you have me, you have resurrection." The background here was that Lazarus had died, and the Lord delayed going to Lazarus when he was sick, to even let Lazarus die, because he wanted to reveal to his followers, his seekers, that he is the resurrection. So when he got there, Lazarus was already dead. He had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Mary and Martha, they both took turns saying, "Lord, if you had only come sooner, you could have healed him and he wouldn't have died." But the Lord wanted to show them, it doesn't matter whether I came sooner or later, whether I healed him or he dies, I am the resurrection. Amen. When I'm here, there's resurrection.
Amen.
Even if you die, you can live. Amen. That's what resurrection is. Resurrection is Christ. Whenever Christ comes, resurrection comes. Okay. B, when Christ was dying on the cross, he was being put to death not in his entire being, but only in his flesh. In the spirit, he was made alive. 1 Peter 3:18. Being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit. We'll read one under this, and then I'll explain this a little bit. His resurrection was a process that lasted for about 3 days, beginning from the time when he was being killed on the cross and fully accomplished at the time of his body's resurrection. Okay, Jesus, I need some brothers. Andy, come on up. Andreas, I need you. Yeah, that should work. Okay. Jesus, so you stand right there. Okay. Jesus is God. As God, he has divinity. One day, the Son of God, with his divinity, was conceived through the Holy Spirit in a virgin's womb, and he picked up and put on humanity. So Jesus has both divinity and humanity. That's why he has the title Son of God, related to his divinity, and the title Son of Man, related to his humanity. Yet, this divinity was concealed within the shell. Come on, get in there. within the shell of his humanity. So, when Jesus lived on the earth, he didn't glow, he didn't hover above the ground. He looked just like everyone else. They saw the humanity. Yet, as he lived, what was within him got lived out. God expressed. People began to, there's something different about him. There's something different about his living, the way he is. Something of God was expressed through his humanity. Yet it was limited. It was limited because of the humanity. And as we saw that it was necessary for this humanity to be nailed on the cross, so actually, when Jesus was nailed on the cross, God, yeah, both of you have to get up on the cross. Well, I'm not strong enough to do that. But he was there on the cross with both his divinity and his humanity. Yet as his humanity was dying, his divinity was not dying. It could never die. It was being energized. It was getting active. All right. I've been concealed within here for 33 and a half years. I've been limited within here for 33 and a half years. Now it's time. Now it's time. So after he died, now you have to lay on the tomb. Okay? It'll be okay. There you go. Good. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. So the body was put in the tomb for the 3 days. But in the spirit, which was made alive in his divinity, he went into death. He went into Hades. You know, there's a place called Hades. And it's where all those who die go. And no one has ever escaped Hades. See, Satan has two things that he uses to frustrate God in us. He uses sin and he uses death. Sin and death. They're buddies. They're companions. They go together. Well, the cross dealt with sin. Yet the Lord needed to go into death for 3 days to deal with death. So for 3 days, walk around in death. You're in Death Hotel. Check it out. What's here? Don't you do that when you go to a hotel? I'm checking it out. Okay, death, what you got? Show me what you got, death. What you got? Everyone else who checked into this place never checks out. Death holds them. But in Acts 2 it says, this one could not be held by death. Amen. So you tell death, death, you can't hold me.
Death, you can't hold me.
Amen. I'm checking out.
Amen. I'm checking out.
And I'm taking the keys with me.
And I'm taking the keys with me.
Amen. So he began to resurrect. He took the keys of death and Hades. He says, I'm checking out and I'm taking the keys. I can let anyone out that I want. And then he came to the tomb, and he didn't look at the humanity and say, farewell. It's been a good 33 and a half years. No, remember, God's purpose is with humanity. That humanity he put on makes God happy. So now you can resurrect. Okay, you all right?
Yeah,
good. Thank you, brother. Okay, so we're not done yet. Then the Spirit, as his divinity, went into the humanity of Jesus, enlivened it. And not only that, Romans 1, verses 3 and 4, said that in resurrection, not only was this humanity enlivened and made alive, but it got completely soaked, saturated, filled with the Spirit of God, that humanity now was designated Son of God. This humanity that had no divinity in it now was soaked with the Spirit. And God designated that humanity and said, that humanity is Son of God. So now with Christ, in his divinity, he's the only begotten Son. But in his humanity, he's the firstborn Son of God. In resurrection, in his humanity, he's the firstborn Son of God. Okay, now you can sit down. Why the firstborn Son of God? Why the firstborn? Because God's intention was not just to have one. God wants many.
Amen.
So in resurrection, Christ in his humanity was designated the firstborn Son of God.
Amen.
So for point B, what is resurrection? Resurrection is a designation. Christ being designated the firstborn Son of God. Why is that significant? Well, the firstborn implies there's got to be others that are following. There's got to be more that are going to be born as sons of God. So in Romans 8:29, it says that Christ, the firstborn Son of God, he is the firstborn among many brothers.
Amen.
Who are the many brothers? We are the many brothers.
Amen.
We're the many brothers. Okay, now this brings us to C. We've got to keep moving. Let's all read C together. Christ as a man, grain of wheat. Then brothers 1 and sisters 2.
Christ as a man.
Okay, now I'm going to read to you John 12:24. If you have this verse, read it. It's so significant for tonight's message. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. In that one verse, we can see the three stages of Christ. First of all, there's a grain of wheat. The grain of wheat is Christ. That's his incarnation. I'm going to put I, incarnation, to be a grain. But was God happy to have one grain and for that grain to abide alone? No. In order for God to get what he wanted, this one grain of wheat needed to fall into the ground and die. What is that? Christ's crucifixion. That's falling. I won't write the rest of it. Falling into the ground to die. Was that it? Is that the end of the story? Is that the end of the verse? No. This grain fell into the ground and died. So that through resurrection, this grain doesn't abide alone, but it has caused there to be much fruit. Caused there to be many grains. So if you take the example in God's creation, you know, God put some things in creation to show us about resurrection. If you find someone who doesn't believe in resurrection, just take them to a wheat field and say, there's the proof of resurrection. Because there's a field where a grain, or many grains in this case, but a grain has fallen into the ground. It died, but then life came forth. And now, in resurrection, do you see one grain in the field? You see a sheaf. And what's on that sheaf? Okay, I'm not a very good artist, so you have to use a lot of imagination. Okay? One grain fell into the ground. But many grains came up out of the ground. And those many grains are just like the one grain that fell into the ground. So this is another resurrection is moment. Resurrection is a multiplication of the one grain. Resurrection is the multiplication of the one grain. It's Christ's multiplication. It's Christ now been in you and in you and in you. So today, Christ is in many, many, many grains. Three. Let's all read this together. Now we are the many grains with the divine life of God. We have God Himself in us as life. Now we are the many grains. As the many grains, we're just to be like the one grain who fell into the ground and died. We are to be Christ's multiplication, Christ's duplication, because Christ is now living in us. The life that was in Christ is the same life that's now in you and I.
Amen.
You know, let me just say a little word on this and then we'll move on. You know, the enemy uses sin and he uses death. Death cannot hold down the resurrection life. Death cannot hold down Christ. Christ does not stay in death. He checks out of death. You know what the enemy is trying to do all the time with you and I? He's trying to bring us into death. Whenever you sense death, what should you do? Check out. Check out. I'm checking out. And we'll see, how do you check out? You turn to the Spirit.
Amen.
You get into the Spirit.
Amen.
Right away, when you get into the Spirit, you checked out of death. And you're in life. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever we are together, we never want to go into death. All our meetings, all our gatherings, it's so good. It's so good to see you in the meetings. But when we are in the meetings, we should be there living, living, active, full of life. Don't come to a meeting and be dead. But rather, in the meeting, we should be living. How are we going to be living in the meetings? There's only one who's resurrection and life. That's Christ. And we'll see in the next point, Christ is the Spirit. So when I'm in the Spirit, I'm in Christ.
Amen.
And when I'm in Christ, I am in resurrection.
Amen.
So do you want to be in death or do you want to be in life?
Life?
Do you want to be in death or do you want to be in resurrection?
Resurrection.
Do you want to be in death or do you want to be in Christ?
In Christ.
How do you be such a one? Get into the Spirit.
Amen.
That's why we do what we do when we come to the meetings. Have you noticed that? When we come to the meetings, we don't sit still. And the others in the meeting don't let us sit still. I mean, we think we should get a medal for just coming to the meeting. We feel like, give me my star, give me my sticker, I came. Don't you know? It was a miracle I got here. Well, okay, we're glad you're here. Now come with us into resurrection.
Amen.
Let's get into life.
Amen.
Why did you come here? Did you come here just to sit in a room and be dead?
No.
Not me. I came here to get into life.
Amen.
The only way to get into life is I need to get into Christ.
Amen.
And Christ is the Spirit in my spirit.
Amen.
So I have to be here in my spirit,
Amen.
Enjoying the Spirit.
Amen.
How do I do that? Well, I know I don't do this. I've never gone to a meeting like this. Nelson would go, wow, that was the best meeting. Oh, I got so invigorated, so full of life. No, we come to the meeting, we exercise our spirit, we call on the Lord, we pray, we praise, we sing. Maybe people think, you're crazy. We're not crazy. We believe in the resurrection.
Amen.
That's who we are. We are believers and we believe in the resurrection.
Amen.
We believe our Christ is alive.
Amen.
And we want to be with Him right now.
Amen.
And He's not in Hades.
Right.
He's not in death.
Amen.
So I'm not staying in death. I'm getting out of there. I'm getting into the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And don't give me this phony, philosophical talk. Well, it's not genuine. I don't feel like I'm in the Spirit. So because I don't feel like I'm in the Spirit, I'm just going to sit like this and daydream and look at my watch and wish my life was better. Wish an angel would come down and tap me on the shoulder and say, it's all right. Don't tell me that. I'm a believer.
Amen.
My Christ has risen
yes.
from the dead.
Amen.
My Christ is alive.
Yes.
And He's in me.
Amen.
And if I turn to Him, He gives me life. And I don't care where I've come from. If I turn to Him, He gives life.
Amen.
And that is the most real thing in the universe.
Yes.
All right, we got to go on. Lord Jesus. Roman numeral 2. Before His death, let's all read this together. Before His death,
the Lord would be among His disciples in a physical body. But after the resurrection, He could enter into them.
Wow. After the resurrection, He could enter into them. So A, by death and resurrection, Christ was transfigured into the life-giving Spirit. You all have to read with me 1 Corinthians 15:45b. Well, I'll read it to you because we'll have different... I don't even have to look it up. None of us have to look it up. But the second part of 1 Corinthians 15:45b says, the last Adam became a life-giving Spirit. Okay, the last Adam is Christ. That's so clear when you read the Bible. The last Adam is Christ. Christ became what? A life-giving Spirit. So today, Christ is the Spirit. Christ comes to you not as a man physically in the flesh like He was with His disciples. Today it's much better for us. In resurrection, His body was transfigured and He became a life-giving Spirit.
Right.
Today, as the Spirit, He not only comes to be with you, but as the Spirit, He comes to get inside
Amen.
Of you.
Amen.
He could never do that when He was in the flesh with His disciples. At best, He could just be among them. But today, He can be in us. And He is in us. Christ is in you.
Amen.
This is what the Bible tells us. Christ is in you.
Amen.
How did He get in you? He got into you as the Spirit.
Amen.
So let's all read one together. The highest definition of resurrection, it is the process
by which Christ, Adam, became a life-giving spirit.
Resurrection is the process, the step by which Christ, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. Oh, I mean, is God helping us or what? I mean, even that title, life-giving spirit. I mean, what does that mean? What's the Spirit going to do? Give you what?
Life.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How do you know that? Because He's a life-giving Spirit. Okay, two. On the night of His resurrection, the Lord came in and breathed into His disciples, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Without the Spirit, the disciples could have nothing to do with His resurrection. Too much to say here. But on the evening of His resurrection, the disciples were in a room and the door was locked. Yet it says the Lord came in into a locked room. How did He get into a locked room? Because His body has been transfigured. As the Spirit, He was able to come into the room, even though it was locked. And He was there with His disciples. And He didn't say, "Sit down. I got some things I need to tell you. You've made a couple of mistakes, even in the 3 days that I've been gone. And I know what you did. You need to talk about it. You need to improve yourself. You need to try a little bit harder." No. Take note what the Bible says. Take note. The words in the Bible are not idle words. They're there to reveal something. It says He breathed into them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It was Christ standing there, Christ breathing into them. But what did they receive? They received the Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. Christ came into them as the Spirit. Christ has resurrected. In resurrection, Christ became a life-giving Spirit. Today, Christ is the Spirit. He's here as the Spirit.
Amen.
And this Spirit is in us.
Amen.
And we are in this Spirit. Because we can live in the Spirit, we can walk in the Spirit. This means, when you are in the Spirit, you are in resurrection. Because resurrection is a person. Resurrection is Christ. Christ is the Spirit. So whenever He is in you as the Spirit and you are in Him as the Spirit, that means you are a person today who is living in resurrection.
Amen.
In the reality of resurrection. And that word Spirit in Greek is the word from which we can get pneuma, air, air. It could be translated breath, wind, or air. So Christ as the Spirit today is the air for us to breathe.
Amen.
We need to learn how to breathe Him in. We need to breathe Him in. How do you live a Christian life? I'm going to show you how to live a Christian life. Alex, Mac, I'll have you come up. Help us. Who else? I need Peter, why don't you come up? And then David, why don't you come up? This is us. See what this is? It's a balloon. You got one. Yeah. Show them. What's the problem with these balloons? There's no air. They're empty. So on the day we believed in the Lord, He breathed Himself into us. So go ahead. Take one breath and blow into the balloon. Okay. Pretty good. A little better than I thought they could do. Now hold it up. Okay? It's good. You know, the balloon is a vessel made to contain air. We're a vessel made to contain the Spirit. And we need the Spirit to be breathed into us. But why don't you let some of the air out so it makes my illustration a little more vivid. Thank you. Good. Okay, good. Now hold that up. That may be like us when we first believe and first breathe in the Lord. Okay. Well, you got, okay, good help for the illustration. So how do you cause this to keep inflating, to keep being filled? It needs to keep breathing in air. So come on, breathe in more air. More. Okay, an easy way for us to breathe in the Lord is to call on His name.
Amen.
How about we try this? Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Don't pop it, okay? Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, good. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. Do you know how to get through the Christian life? Don't get through the Christian life like a flat tire. You know, when you drive along with flat tires, it's not easy. But when you fill those tires up with air, it's much easier to make progress. How do you go on in the Christian life? You got to be filled with the heavenly air, with the heavenly pneuma, with the Spirit. And one of the easiest ways to get filled with the Spirit is to call on the Lord's name. Then as you get filled up with Him, He's resurrection. He's resurrection. And when you're filled with resurrection, things don't hold you down that much. Have you noticed how many things in life, how many things in our day are just holding us down? How do you be raised up out of these things that are holding you down? Holding you down and you're wanting to pursue the Lord and follow the Lord. You got to get filled more with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, which is more buoyant, this or this? If I put this underwater or this underwater, which one is going to rise up quicker? This one. So in our daily life, we need to be filled with the heavenly air.
Amen.
But we have to open. We have to open. There's an opening to the vessel. The vessel needs to open to let the air in. Okay, thank you, brothers. We need to open. Every day we need to be opening to the Lord. Every day we need to let Him breathe more of Himself into us. By singing, by praying, by praising, by calling. And oh, this matter of calling on the Lord, it's the easiest way to breathe Him in. I know some of you, maybe you don't like how much we call on the Lord. Well, all I know is I can't take one breath and get by for a day. I have to breathe again and again and again. So some of you might be quite legal. You might say, yeah, okay, I see in the Bible it's everywhere about calling on the Lord's name. But, you know, just call one time. Just say, Lord Jesus, and then stop, guys. Just stop. Why do you say, Lord Jesus, like 8, 9, 10, 20 times? Well, for me, it's like breathing. Don't tell me take one breath and live the rest of your day. One breath is good enough, Ken.
No.
No way. You need to keep breathing. And when we call, it's to breathe the Lord in. Oh, I don't like calling when it's just like, oh, Lord Jesus, 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 oh, Lord Jesus. No, no, no. That's not calling, because that's not spiritual breathing. Calling is, Lord Jesus. It doesn't have to be loud. But as you're calling, you're crying out for this one to come in. And remember, we're a vessel, like the balloon was a vessel. Do you want to really be a balloon that you only allow the Lord one time in to fill you? You want to live that kind of life? Lord, every day I'm just going to open up one time a day, and that's good enough? Why not throughout the day, let the Lord keep filling you with Himself? It's so easy. Wherever we are, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Fill me, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. How about you breathe with me? Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, fill me. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. You know, those balloons are limited. What I really would like to be able to do is breathe into those balloons, fill them up, and have them just go up. Well, how many of us find ourselves sometimes throughout the day, in death? We just end up in death, spiritual death. We didn't intend to be there, we just got there. Someone cut us off on the freeway, we were running late for class. Someone took that one parking spot. And now you spend 20 minutes driving around finding another one, you're late for class. Where are you? You're in death, right? You're in death and, oh. Anyway, but you get a phone call, someone did this, someone did that, you didn't get the class that you wanted, didn't get the grade on the midterm you thought you were going to get, death. And you need to get out of death. You need to get into resurrection.
Amen.
The only way to get into resurrection is to get filled up with the one who is resurrection. And the more He fills you up, the more you rise up out of your death situation.
Amen.
And sometimes we're like this. We're in our death situation and we want to be raised up out of it. And so we cry out, Lord Jesus, Lord, we open. But it's like being in a hot air balloon and you just pull the little handle that, right? And it gets this far off the ground. You're like, woohoo, I feel a little bit better. But then we stop. We stop. We should just keep going.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I love You. Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I need You. Oh, Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And just keep being filled with Him. And keep going up and up and up and up.
Amen.
Don't stay this far off. Because if you're this far off, it's easy to come back down. And that's what happens. Do you notice that? You get brought into death about something. You start to pray and you're like, oh, I'm getting out of it. Then you stop praying and then back down into it. And then, oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, I love You. Oh, Lord, oh, come back up. Now you're still only this far off the ground. Keep going up.
Amen.
Keep opening. Keep being filled with Him. I feel sometimes our experience is so limited like this. We don't go all the way to get filled up with the Lord, to be brought fully out of our situations. We have to learn how to do this, brothers and sisters. We have to learn how to be filled with the Lord. Okay, we need to go on because the clock won't stop still. B, as the life-giving Spirit, He has come into us to apply to us all that he has achieved, accomplished, attained, and obtained, all of his accomplishes now become ours. How about brothers, read one.
When we believe in the Lord Jesus, receiving him as our Savior, God gives his Spirit to us, putting the Spirit into our spirit.
Okay, sisters, two. Yeah. Awesome. The Bible tells us the Spirit was involved in all the steps of Christ. The Spirit was there, involved in His being conceived. It was there in His human living. It was there in Him being nailed to the cross. It was there in resurrection. So now in the Spirit is everything of Christ's history. His incarnation, His human living, His death, His resurrection are in the Spirit. If you want to experience these things, you just need to come to the Spirit. Amen. And in the Spirit, all these things are supplied to you. You know, when the Lord was in the flesh, He manifested God in humanity. Who here can imitate that life? Who here can imitate that life? Who here can read the Gospels, take note of how Jesus lived, and then go and reproduce that in their living? Not one of us can do that. But in the Spirit is His humanity with His human living. And now He is in you and I, wanting to live out His life again on the earth.
Amen.
He's in us to live out His life again. So, do you want to live out that life that's in the Gospels? You need the Spirit. You need to live by Him as the Spirit. Only by the Spirit can we live out that life. Do you want to have the reality of the cross applied to you? To have all those problems that are in your flesh nullified, put to death, made of no effect? It's only by being in the Spirit. When you're in the Spirit, the cross is already there working in you to put those things to death. Do you want to be in resurrection? Where's resurrection? Resurrection is not, oh, I feel really dead. Okay, I'm just going to think some happy thoughts. And, oh, I feel so much better. No, the reality of resurrection is the Spirit. When you get into the Spirit, resurrection is supplied to you. So we have to learn. We have to learn to be people in the Spirit.
Amen.
So now this brings us to Roman numeral 3, the last point. Let's all read it together. God desires to have a relationship with us.
In which He, as the Spirit, enters into our spirit, and in which we live in the Spirit. When we live in the Spirit, we are living in resurrection.
Whoa. What a point. I know we all love those first 6 words. God, 8 words. God desires to have a relationship with us. Oh, that sounds good. God wants to have a relationship with me. Oh, I like that. Now, let me think about this relationship, how I'd like it to be. Oh, I think God would look after me. God will bless me. God will never let me get sick. Oh, I'll get all A's. I'll get a lot of money, have a nice house. Oh yeah, I like this relationship with God. Oh, yeah, this is a great idea that God wants to have a relationship with me. Whoa. Stop. God wants to define the relationship. God defines the relationship that He wants with us. Don't usurp God. And you define the relationship. There's so many people today. They define what the relationship with God should be, not knowing how God has defined the relationship. So, the rest of this Roman numeral 3, this relationship that God wants with us is a relationship in which He, as the Spirit, enters into our spirit. That's how the relationship begins. God says, let me in. I want to come in to your spirit. Now, what should we do? Now that we know God is in our spirit, we should live where God is. We should live in our spirit because God is there. That's the relationship we should have every day with God. Not a, well, let me do good today and God will reward me. But no, God is in my spirit. I'm going to spend this day with God in my spirit. I'm going to live in my spirit. Or you could say, when we live in the Spirit, we are living in resurrection. Our relationship with God must be in resurrection. It's not in the natural realm. It's in resurrection. Resurrection, the reality of resurrection, is the Spirit. Where's the Spirit today? In our spirit. So we need to learn. We need to learn to live in our spirit with God. A, Christ is living in our spirit, not in our mind, emotion, or will. 2 Timothy 4:22. The Lord be with your spirit. Mary, she sought the resurrected Jesus. Paul tells us, where is the resurrected Jesus? The Lord is with your spirit. The Lord is in your spirit. So if you are seeking the Lord, where should you be? In your spirit. Not in your mind, in your thoughts. He's not in your emotion. He's in your spirit. Eventually, when you are with Him in the Spirit, eventually He will fill your mind with His thoughts. He will fill your emotion with His feelings. And even touch your will with His will. So that you will live Him out. So that you will express Him. But you can't live Him out. You can't express Him if you don't live with Him in the Spirit. So one, the experience of something deep within, contradicting our mind, our emotion, our will, is really the Lord's Spirit. Yeah, really. Really. Maybe a lot of us didn't know. But on that day, we believed in Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins and He rose from the dead. On that day, not only were all our sins forgiven, but on that day, really, Jesus came into us. Andreas, where's Jesus today?
In my spirit.
Stand up and tell these people, where is Jesus today?
Jesus is in my spirit.
They can't hear you.
They're in my spirit.
Oh, amen. Good. Jesus.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Really. There's another person really living inside of us.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus is living in us. And He wants us to live a life with Him. A life that follows Him. That's why, after you become a believer, you might go to say something that you used to say all the time, and there's someone inside you with elbows. That as you're about to say it, they're like, you're like, what is that? And maybe you brushed it off. Maybe I have indigestion. I don't know what that is. And you say it, and then, like, whoa, something inside doesn't feel good that I said that. Or maybe there was a place you used to go to all the time, and you're thinking about going there, and there it is again. What's going on? I don't know what that is. And then you get in the car, and as you get closer to that place, what is happening? And then as you get to the door, what's going on? There's another person inside of you. This person doesn't speak that way. This person doesn't go to those kind of places. You used to wear certain clothing because you just look good. And you knew it. And now when you're putting it on, I still look good. But now, this person, vanity, vain. What? I can't wear this anymore? Really? Relationships. You used to have certain kinds of relationships, pursue certain kinds of relationships. Now as you try to pursue it, the one inside you, no, not this relationship. No, no. Dear brothers and sisters, this is real. Are you a believer?
Amen.
I believe in the resurrection.
Amen.
I believe the tomb is empty. I believe the one who resurrected is the Spirit.
Amen.
And I believe this one, as the Spirit, is living inside me in my spirit.
Amen.
And now I have to practice to live a life with Him. I have to practice to live a life being joined to Him. And He's got His own mind. He's got His own emotions. He's got His own will. And it seems like it contradicts mine. But I have to learn to follow Him. I have to learn to follow Him. So it seems like the Lord is always troublesome, never giving us a free hand. But He's always asking us to follow Him. Many times that, in our experience, is deep within, we get the sense, don't go there. Don't participate in that. Don't say this. Yes, we must follow the Lord's Spirit, not make Him follow us. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit. We need to learn to be led by the Spirit. Okay, let's all read two together, and then we'll have to wrap it up. As Christians, we have to reject ourselves and take the Lord Jesus as our life. This is done
by returning to our spirit and sensing what is there in our spirit.
Okay, we must practice this. We have to learn to reject ourselves. This is the Lord's words, Matthew 16:24. If you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself. If you want to live in resurrection, if you want to live the Christian life, you have to deny yourself and follow me. And you have to follow the one that's in your spirit. So how do we live today? How do you live as a Christian? How do Christians deal with this? How do they deal with that? How do they deal with this kind of person? We have to learn how to do it in our spirit, joined to the Lord. How do we meet? How should Christians meet? We should meet in the Spirit. That's how we should meet. We need to learn how to live in the Spirit, how to live joined with the Lord. When we live in the Spirit, we live Christ. And when we live Christ, this is true spirituality. You want the true spirituality? Learn to live in the Spirit with Christ. And we must take Christ as our life for every occasion. So let me ask you this. We're almost at the last point to conclude. In what occasions should we take Christ as life? Every occasion. Every occasion. Just in the meetings? But every occasion, in the meetings, outside of the meetings, we have to practice to take Christ as our life. That means we have to practice to live with Him in our spirit. Okay, let's all read B, 1, 2, and 3. If we contact Christ, the Spirit, in our spirit,
throughout the whole day, three things will
happen within. The life-giving Spirit
will impart life. We will have the inner refreshing, the inner strengthening, the inner satisfying, and the inner enlightening.
The Holy Spirit will continually liberate us. The Holy Spirit
will also transform us.
Okay, these last three points. This is a life in resurrection. This is a life in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, the Spirit gives life. When you are in the Spirit, you are enlivened. You are strengthened. You're living.
Amen.
Then also in verse 17, it says, this Spirit sets us free.
Amen.
Sets us free from the dead letters of the law.
Amen.
And then in verse 18, this Spirit transforms us into the same image of the Lord. Do you want to be the same as Christ? Do you want His image in you? We need to be in the Spirit. The more we live in the Spirit, the more there will be the image of Christ in us. So brothers and sisters, what kind of life should we live? Let's live a life in resurrection. How do we live a life in resurrection? We need to live a life in the Spirit. Okay, we can stop. Should we pray with our neighbor? Okay, how about we pray with our neighbor and get filled up with pneuma?